Welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. My name is Christian Hugill. Every week we shine a light on a recent audio project and sometimes bring you some reaction to something big happening in the world of radio and podcasts. And speaking of pods, this month, one of the world's most successful ever comes to an end as Rocky Flintstone puts down his pen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno, episode 10. How are you, Alice Levine?
I am well. How are you, Jamie Morton?
I'm really good. Thanks for asking. James, how are you?
I've had better days.
Oh.
I need a pick-me-up.
My Dad Wrote a Porno is a podcasting powerhouse, and on December the 12th, its final ever episode will be released. For its tens of millions of fans around the world, quite literally, by the way, don't think I'm exaggerating the numbers here, it's the end of an era. It's the brainchild of Jamie Morton, whose dad wrote a series of books called Belinda Blinked under a pseudonym of Rocky Flintstone. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever listen to. And ahead of that final episode, I sat down for a chat with Jamie, starting with where it all began.
My dad was a builder from Northern Ireland and retired. And in his retirement, he decided to start writing a novel, which was a great way to, you know, keep his mind active. I was very pro this as a creative endeavour until I discovered that it was erotica. And he inexplicably sent it to me. I still don't quite know why he sent it to me. It's one of the questions that I want to ask him when he comes on the show. And I realised that not only was it the worst erotica ever written, it was just the worst book ever written. Like, bless him. He just, the spelling was a bit off. Like, it was a very strange world that he'd conjured up, but also amazingly hysterical. So with this comedy gold, I just had to share it with my friends, and we quickly, it just became our favourite thing. With our friendship group, I just used to read it at parties and stuff, and so after a few months, I was like, well, if everyone seems to love this, I should just record it, really. And so the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno was born.
Right, I'm going to go back to the start shortly, but let's mess about with the timeline and come to the end now. Let me ask the obvious question first. Why end it now?
Do you know what? It's a good question. And I wish I had like a more meaningful answer to it, really. It just felt like it was the right time. We had a conversation in May this year. We were on a break between our second world tour, which had been completely screwed because of COVID. And we were about to go to the States, and we were a bit like, it just feels like it's the right time. We all have different projects that we've got going on. My Dad Wrote a Porno takes up so, actually, you wouldn't think it would, actually takes up so much of our time and our bandwidth, particularly James and I. So we were a bit like, you know, maybe end on a high, go out on our own terms, really enjoy the end, and kind of give the audience a bit of closure to the story in a way. We kind of didn't want to be one of those shows that didn't know when to quit, you know, and just kind of limped on until people just stopped listening. Because we've been very lucky that each season we've ever done has grown in its listenership. But we just thought, do you know what? We've loved making the show and we just want to kind of leave on a high.
Talk about growing. It has grown. I mean, since your first episode in October 2015... I've got a figure in front of me of 430 million downloads. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's our most recent one. It's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
It's huge. World tours. There's no wonder it takes up so much of your time. Take me back to your life when it first started. What were your hopes for this podcast?
Do you know what? It's interesting. I really believed in it from the beginning. We were never supposed to release the first episode. That was always meant to be a pilot that we were going to basically sense check for tone and how the show would work, format points, etc. And when I was editing it, I just was like, there's something about this show. There's something about Alice and James reacting to something that they've heard for the first time on mic that I just felt we couldn't ever have replicated. We couldn't have acted our way through that again. So I was like, guys, I think we're just going to have to use this episode as the first one. And I always have a thing with creative projects. If I find, it's a bit like when you're dating. If you find a reason to mention your new girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, into conversation where there's no reason for them to be mentioned, you know you like them. With a creative endeavor, I feel the same. If you just constantly kind of are wanting to talk about this thing that you're creating, that's always a really good sign that you subconsciously believe in it. And I just was really kind of, anyone who'd listen, I'd be like, I'm doing this podcast, I think it's really good, I'm really excited about it. I thought we'd made something funny. I obviously could never have imagined where it would lead. Because, mainly because podcasting, no podcast had ever got to those heights. You know, we really have grown with the medium in that respect. So the journey's been pretty mad.
It is one of the podcast success stories. And I don't think it's a stretch to say it's a genre-defining series. How much of an impact has it had on your life?
Oh, huge. I mean, it's just really nice to have made a show that has connected to so many people all over the world. Because that's the thing, you know, when we first started, we kind of forgot that it was a global medium. We kind of didn't realise that people all over the world would be listening to it, and that it's free to access. Anyone can listen to it. So your potential for reaching an audience is so huge. And, you know, when you kind of go touring around the world or, you know, whatever, and you meet the people who listen to your show, it is the most incredible thing, because when you're just in the kitchen recording it with your two mates, you kind of forget that anyone will listen to it. So kind of the global reach of the show has been, I mean, that's kind of changed my life forever, really, I think. People will forever just shout on the street, hey, it's the guy from My Dad Wrote a Porno, which is nice.
And is that the thing you couldn't have predicted? Surely there was no... There's believing in the project, but then there's a worldwide hit. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, there was no way that we... I mean, also, it was so niche. Like, I kind of was confident that the show was funny, but because it was so... It's so weird as well, and it's so intimate, and it's so personal to me. I was a bit like, you know... Are people going to have to really know my dad to find it funny? Or the fact that it has grown and kind of... we have listeners in every single country on the planet, which is mad. That was something that we just could never have really anticipated. Yeah.
Hank, dressed only in his board shorts, threw another large ribeye steak onto the barbecue, watching the three girls out of the corner of his eye skinny dip in the pool.
So the girls are naked in the pool.
Right.
Right.
He looked over at Jim and winked.
Oh.
Steak, ass and tits. You can't beat it.
Are they all different cuts of meat?
Cow tit.
Oh, God.
Steak, ass and tits.
You can't beat it.
Best day ever.
Steak. As that is.
What are your emotions like at the moment?
Do you know what? I was absolutely, absolutely fine until we did the announcement. Yeah, a while ago when we kind of released it on social media. And I just wasn't quite expecting the outpouring of, I mean, love and emotion from our listeners. It was kind of, you kind of forget how much your show means to people. And that's been lovely, but it kind of did... I think it kind of shocked us all a little bit. We were like, wow. Because, you know, because we made the decision in May, and so we kind of had got... There was enough time for us to really get used to the idea, and we did our tour in America, and that was lovely, actually, just knowing that it would be the last time we'd be on the stage together. That was a really fun tour. Our last show was at Radio City Music Hall, and I just was a bit like... I just looked at Alison James on stage and was like, this has been an insane ride. So I think we're all... really happy with how it's kind of ending and the timing of it. But yeah, it is emotional. Of course it's emotional. It's a huge part of our lives. And for me personally, it's my family, you know. It's changed the lives of my whole family, really. So it's a big moment.
You just mentioned then performing in one of the world's most famous venues, the Radio City Music Hall in New York. It might be that. I just wonder, is there a moment you could pinpoint from this journey, going back from the first episode, which was, what, October 2015?
Yes.
To now, and that huge journey, is there a moment you could pinpoint?
Oh, I mean, there isn't really one. Yeah, I mean, we found out that an astronaut listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno in space about a year ago, and NASA got in touch with us because they'd requested a phone call with us on the International Space Station. And so we had this Zoom call with an astronaut in space for an hour and talked to her, and she gave us a tour of the space station. That was insane. And she was like, it's the thing that I listen to every day up here when I'm doing, you know, my menial tasks, when I'm like doing a space walk, I've got porn. I was like, what the hell? That is insane. So to have people listening in space, I mean, we could never have imagined that.
So a little earlier, we said you couldn't possibly have predicted that it would spread around the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. Beyond the world, it's like, yeah. Yeah, it's mad. So I think maybe that's just because that's so stupid. Like, and then to actually get a call from NASA to be like, we want to talk, like, the national wants to chat to you. I was like, this is bizarre. Okay, fine. All because of my dad's rubbish porn.
There's various ways of measuring success in the radio and audio industry, from ARIA Awards to Audio UK Awards to listeners coming up to you in the street. NASA giving you a call's up there, isn't it? That's an unusual one.
It's, yeah. We'll never top that, I don't think, yeah.
A simple lunch of distressed lettuce leaves.
Distressed? Oh, I can. Oh, God. Oh, not on me.
Don't put me with the cars, please.
Maybe they've been locked out of the house. Then they'd be distressed, let me tell you.
But distressed is what you usually use for, like, denim, when they've put loads of holes in it and, like, made it tattered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the new word for, like, slightly off lettuce?
So, a simple lunch. Very simple. A simple lunch of distressed lettuce leaves and blue cheese fish mousse.
Oh, God!
That's disgusting. Has your dad ever eaten food? Why does he always choose the rankest stuff I've ever heard of?
That's repulsive.
Oh, God.
Blue cheese fish.
On a bed of distressed lettuce lies a blue cheese fish mousse.
What can we expect for the last episode?
Oh, so there's been two, which are kind of like Belinda Blink themed, and then the last ever episode is a chat with my dad, which I am so excited about. I can't wait for that to come out. I think I hope people are gonna. I hope it's gonna all make sense in a weird way, because he's such a crazy, mad genius. The way his mind works, it's so unique, and so I'm really excited about that one. I really hope that we kind of do Rocky justice there, and that he really shows the world just how great he is.
Well, you've teased that it's not the end of the brand, and I'm aware you're possibly going to be quite secretive with me here, and I'm primed for that. But what does that mean? What does the future hold?
I think because Belinda Blinked and My Dad Wrote a Porn has been so huge and there's so much affection for it out there, it would be crazy to not explore other things within the universe. And we've always kind of joked on the show about, you know, doing a movie or doing a TV show or even a musical. So I think now the podcast is ending, we'll hopefully have a bit more time to kind of really explore other things within the world of Belinda. But who knows? We couldn't possibly comment.
Well, of course, and I won't push you anymore, but I'm guessing as well, something I so often talk about in the world of audio radio, it is natural chemistry. And I'm guessing when you've got that relationship on air with Alice and James, a double-headed question, I guess you want that to continue. And how important is that, to have that natural thing where it just clicks between three on-air people?
Yeah, I think that really, I think with podcasting particularly, I think that is the most important thing, actually. I think you really have to feel like these people really have a alchemy. And we've been lucky with that. You know, obviously, we've known each other for like 20 years or whatever, not quite, nearly. And we've been friends for that long. So I think people hear that and they feel like they know us, which they kind of do in a weird way. That's what's extraordinary, actually. And so I think it is really important to have that. And for Alice, James and I, you know, we've always made stuff together. Our friendship was kind of born in Leeds making student TV in the union. So kind of, we wouldn't really know what to do if we didn't do stuff together. Like, some Alice always says, like, some friendship groups go to the pub, some friendship groups go to gigs. We just make stuff. So yeah, I mean, that'll never change, hopefully.
And I'm guessing that's been a hugely enjoyable part of the journey, because there must have been stressful times with any project, but how important has it been doing it with your mates?
It's been amazing. I mean, I feel so lucky to have done this, yeah, with not only my two best mates, but with my dad. I mean, how lucky am I that we've managed to do this incredible ride? You know, it's just made it so fun. You know, it's just been so fun. And to kind of look at each other and be like, God, we used to just be teenagers, like, dicking about with, you know, cameras in a broom cupboard in Leeds University Union, and now we're, yeah, at the Sydney Opera House or the Royal Albert Hall. I mean, it's just, it's mad, yeah.
You've made me think of something there. Presumably your dad has always been on board with this, because, as you say, your words earlier in the interview, some of the spelling's not great. Like, you've casted doubts over the book's quality. Presumably your dad's always been okay with this, has been a good sport.
Oh my God, my dad is the biggest wind-up merchant. Like, he loves it. It's one of those things that I'm always a little bit, and that I get a little bit annoyed about, actually, when, like, people who haven't listened to the show criticize me for, like, leave your dad alone. I'm like, A, listen to the show. It's the warmest, most affectionate show. Like, it's not cruel in any way. And also, he's totally in on it. Like, he's a 25% partner of the business, for God's sake. And the fact that we are ribbing him for this, he deserves it. He wrote a terrible book. I'm sorry, but, like, that's just the way it is. And he knows that. You know, I mean, he still thinks that he's working on a plane above us all, of course. And he's like, one day you'll understand. But
it's just ahead of its time.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he's... And I have to say, and now kind of, you know, we're looking at the legacy of the show and whatever in the last 8 years. I'm so lucky about that, that he's been so supportive and so on board. And my whole family, my mum, more than anybody. The fact that my mum has been so, yeah, just let us do this. I can't think of many other women who would allow their son to read their husband's terrible erotica to the world.
Don't think I've ever thought of it like that, yeah.
I mean, you know, I remember Emma Thompson met my parents, and my mum was just like, she loves Emma Thompson so much. And Emma was just like, oh gosh, you're a very brave woman. And mum was like, I can't believe that Emma Thompson knows about my husband's dodgy porn. I'm like, I know, I am really sorry, mum, but everyone knows. Everyone, you know.
What a journey for the whole family.
Yeah.
We are the Radio Academy. We celebrate excellence in audio is the cheesy catchphrase that I like to take the mickey out of. Therefore, two final questions. One's, again, I think a bit tricky for you to say, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's the key to its success? Why do you think it's been successful? Why have you been so great?
If I knew that, I would put that lightning in the bottle and sell it. I think it's a really simple concept for a show. I think that it, you know, the title does all the work you need to know about the show. Someone's dad wrote an erotic book. I mean, that's a funny concept. And we've always been quite clear about what the show's about. And we actually, we worked for about a year, just under a year, developing the show, figuring out the tone of the show, how we wanted it to feel. And I think all of that really paid dividends when it came to making the show itself. All you can really do is make a show that you think's good. You can never create a hit. You know, those two things are very different. You know, there are so many podcasts out there that I love that are brilliant and haven't had the reach of My Dad Wrote a Porno. It doesn't mean that they are any less good pieces of audio. It's just, I think so much of it is luck, honestly.
What advice would you give to anyone wanting to start a podcast? Because as you say, even in the time you've been on air in this, what, 7-8 years, it's changed the medium, the space. It's changed so much. What advice would you give now?
I think really set out with intent from the word go. I think when you're making a show that you're hoping to find an audience and expecting strangers to listen to, you don't have the luxury of allowing your show to find its feet throughout its first few episodes. I think your first episode has to really be the show that you want to make, and the show has to kind of hit the ground running. And that means, you know, getting a theme tune commissioned or written. It means, you know, really working out how you're going to market the show, getting all your social handles sorted ahead of time, and really think about the tone of the show. And my biggest thing is editing. Edit your show. Like, really think about, does this make it the best it can be? You know, we record for 2 hours, and I cut it down to 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Just really think about a stranger listening to your show, and just they really deserve the best 30 minutes you can produce. So take it seriously, I guess.
That is some of the best advice we've ever had on this podcast. And honestly, such a pleasure chatting to Jamie. Really enjoyed it. The final episode goes live on December the 12th. And for all the information you could possibly need on the podcast, go to mydadwroteaporno.com. Next week is our Christmas special. I will be joined by three important people from three national music radio stations to talk all things festive. When do you start the Yuletide bangers? How much is too much? And are you really live on Christmas Day? So join me for a mince pie and a mulled wine next week. I look forward to talking to you then. Bye for now.